I was hanging out with some Europeans over the weekend, and, you know, they kiss on both cheeks. And I was like, this is a lot, guys. This is a lot.
Hello, Leon. This is mwah, mwah. You are like a big chocolate bear. All right.
I mean, they have no regard for personal boundaries in space at all.
Have you been to a club where they're like African dudes? They are literally dancing together.
That is true.
And they'll hold hands. And I'm like, you know, I'm all for it, but it's a bit much.
Are they doing like a routine, or are they just dancing? Like,
you wouldn't two-step in front of me. You would two-step to the side of me, but you wouldn't two-step. I'm saying you. Yeah. We're going to two-step side by side. Yeah,
you're not.
I'm not looking in your eyes like, this is great. This is fucking great. Aren't you having a good time? I'm having a great time.
Yo, that's,
nigga, don't look at me in the eyes, nigga. This is, you don't make contact on the dance floor.
Rick trying to look everywhere, but in your eyes.
Yeah, nigga. What the fuck you doing, nigga?
This is weird. Where's my beer?
Let me go smoke a blunt, nigga. Let me go beat somebody up real quick. Let me pull out a gun and start shooting.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that magnificent intro, so you know what time it is. It's time for Funniest Hour and Some Change podcast that you get to enjoy on a weekly basis with three of your favorite hosts. I am your boy, L.O., and I am your humble host this week. And I'm joined by two of the most mellifluous voices in podcasting, and they go by the names.
Maleficus? Now that sounds like a disease, nigga. All
right. I don't know what that means. I'm gonna take it as disrespect.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it as disrespect. You said I got syphilis, but what's up? It's your boy Ben in the building. Hope everybody's enjoying the beautiful spring weather that has hit New York this week.
This is Alaric.
Welcome, gentlemen. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping. If you want to give us a call or text us, it's 619-940-4040. If you want to send us an email, it's decoding40@gmail.com. If you want to check out merch or see what's happening in the world of Decoding 40, go to decoding40pod.com. If you want to visit us on any of our social media platforms, it is Decoding 40. And please remember, if you are listening to this, give us a rating, give us a review, and share. Because actually, I just got a text message from my aunt over the weekend who did not realize that we were back in business. So that's our bad, or my bad, at least, in not sending out the messages to family and friends. But she's back on with us. I'm happy. And please continue to share the show.
I just wanted to say, you know, we say housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
That reference is like Family Guy, right? Mm-hmm. Is that where you saw it?
I saw that on Family Guy, but going on vacation and being in places, no matter where I've been, it's usually the Spanish lady's like, housekeeping.
But I watched Tommy Boy the other day, and that's where that comes from.
Yes.
Mm.
So Family Guy was referencing the Tommy Boy housekeeping. Yeah. Like he goes through the whole thing. It's pretty funny. But small businesses, guys, you're out there. You need to promote your business. We're here. Let's link. Hit us up. Email us. And, you know, we'll get you on and sponsor the show. And we'll help you out. You help us out.
No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you are a merch company, send us some merch and we'll wear it in our videos.
If you're a small business and you first thing you got to do is get an LLC, then you got to get your number. And after you get your LLC, you got to take $10 million in a loan and then you can get on our show.
No.
That's a reference to all those people on the internet who think the LLC will change your life. Sadly, it doesn't.
Well, LLC just happens to be my initial, so maybe an LLC will change your life for better or worse.
Word.
Ooh. Who would like to start the check-in?
Ow. Meow. Where is that cat? I'll go first.
What cat?
Meow.
That's not a cat. That's a let me stop. Very inside joke. Anyway, don't really have much to talk about other than that I'm very happy to say that my insurance has kicked in and I am taking full advantage of the coverage.
All right.
Yeah, man. Something about, well, you know, you get that good coverage, man. It beats that fucking Obamacare, you know, excuse me. Well, not Obamacare. What's it called? The
Affordable Care Act.
Affordable Care Act, right? Insurance that's expensive to the pocket, but is bullshit like a motherfucker. Anyway, so I got my brand new coverage, and I'm very happy to say that it's pretty good, right? So I went, and my daughter had a doctor's appointment and had to get some medicine, and it was 24 cents for the prescription.
Wow.
24 cents was the price of the prescription, and the copayment was $5. So shout out to my new coverage. I also went and got glasses, got my eyes checked. I got brand new specs on right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, are those new? Yeah,
those are new. Yes, these are new, courtesy nice. Of Fi2. I got my eyes checked out. I got a dental appointment coming up. I'm full. As soon as April 1st came in, son, I'm making appointments.
Getting under the hood.
Checked out. Yeah, I'm getting under the hood, son, for real. Like, I got my actual doctor's appointment coming in May. It's on a Saturday. It was the only time I can get it in May. But I'm looking forward to it because I'm like, yo, I want all the blood work, son. I want it all. Check me for everything, son. Mm. Everything for free. And here's a $5 copayment while you're at it. But kiss my ass, so what? Check me for skin cancer, everything.
A little $5 tip.
Yeah, here's a little $5 tip. Here you go, some 5 shillings. Other than that, work has been good. I'm coming to a close on my last week of on-the-job training and going back into the classroom to learn part two of training. But I told you last week that was, I don't know if I said that there was a final episode of The Problema, an epilogue, right?
El problema en trabajando.
So I found out today that one of the individuals who was the cause of all of this fuckery is coming back to work.
Wow. After all that shit.
All of that shit, they're bringing this guy back.
How did you find out who it was?
Well, no, I didn't find out who the email writer was. I just know that one of the individuals that caused that whole thing with the whole chat and all that shit is coming back. And I don't know how I feel about it. I'm like, I don't care because the person's got less seniority than me. I mean, their seniority number is lower than mine, so they won't affect me. But I think it's kind of messed up because both these guys kind of went at it, and they're taking back one of the guys that I, in my opinion, was probably more of the aggressor, was selling more wolf tickets. But the person that was the mystery writer, the William Shakespeare of the class, who was writing these mystery emails, was caping for him. So basically, I guess they took the emails and what they said and the fact that everybody had to come in and speak to the big boss and nobody said anything. They took the guy back. And not only did they take him back, but he got all his back pay. And, you know, that's what happens when you have a job.
What about the other one?
Don't know. If they bring him back, it'll probably be for another class, possibly. Or they may not bring him back. But they are bringing one of them back as of Friday. I'm just going to mind my business and stay away from anybody at this point because I don't want to be in an email. I don't want to be asked to come in anybody's office anymore. I just stay over there and I'll stay over here. Mm-hmm. Because if you're coming back, it's my opinion that you probably said something to get yourself to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably, you know.
So while I think that is the smart approach, here is the problem with that. We need content.
are you suggesting that I mic myself up?
I'm saying you get back in the fray. I'm saying you be responsive to these emails and texts, and you get us some content.
Go undercover.
Show must go on.
Investigative.
We need another season.
We need another season.
We need another season of problems that work.
El problema es trabajando.
Other than that, I'm just hoping that we have no more earthquakes, no more surprise eclipse. I was hoping I would get my special powers during the eclipse, but I didn't. I'm still normal, and I'm upset about that.
normal? I don't know.
Yeah, well, normal in the sense that I don't have superpowers. I'm still super crazy.
Yeah.
But not superpowers at all. But I'm just hoping that the weather is finally changing because it's been kind of crazy with this rain. Like we get 2 days, 3 days of rain. We'll get one day of sunny weather. But it looks like we're springing. And I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty much my check-in.
The other day I said to you, thinking about gratitude, because it really makes me feel good to see you in this place. Because a year ago, today, it wasn't. Just think about that every once in a while.
And speaking of gratitude, real quick. So the other day, everybody who knows me knows that I'm a fucking chocolate fiend. I love chocolate, everything, right? So I was at the supermarket and I bought this bag of like Easter chocolates. It was half off. I was like, I don't give a fuck if it's an Easter bunny or not. Nigga, it's chocolate, right? So I'm biting ears off and everything. So I had these like these little chocolate bars and I thought I finished them, but one had like snuck under like a bag of chips in the cabinet. And I opened up the cabinet yesterday and there, sitting to my delight, was a chocolate bar. And that brought me so much happiness. And I'm thinking little things like a little chocolate bar, you know, brought me back to being a kid again. Little right. things like that really, really are great. Like today, like gratitude again, beautiful weather. I sat out there. I ate my sandwich and just watched people watched and enjoyed the beautiful weather. But yeah, a year ago, I was ready to storm the castle, son. I was. Yeah. But oh, what a year makes.
What a difference.
And that's it.
A year makes.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
So, I'm back home and I was in Somerset, Pennsylvania last week and it was nice to begin with. Like it's a really beautiful part of the country. Again, we're in the mountains, in the woods. We started off great. We had beautiful weather. And as the week progressed, the weather got worse. Each day we were there, the weather got worse. The conditions got worse. And, you know, we work outside all day. We're filming as they're taking down this barn that's in the middle of nowhere. There's not a real shelter. Like, we are working out of tents. And now there's 50-mile-an-hour winds and rain that's coming down horizontally. So we now have to take the tents down because they're about to be kites. We got sandbags on them, and they're trying to struggle and get away. So now we're working out of a van, and it's just miserable. Like, it just becomes like a mountain of mud, and you're trying to trudge through this mud, and it's fucking awful. Like, your hips hurt. Your hips start to hurt because you're walking around in all this mud all the time. And like, when I tell you it's like quicksand and like all of a sudden your boot is up to your ankle in mud, it doesn't stop. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. But, you know, at the end of it, you kind of feel like, oh, I kind of feel like I accomplished something because I fucking survived. I didn't die in the mud or fucking mud mountain.
So you basically were playing the role of a homeless person.
Okay. There's a second part to this story. Okay. So after working outside for a week and like Saturday morning, we drive 5.5 hours back to the city and I'm waiting outside the rental place for my Uber, which I don't know what was going on Saturday, but my Uber was $104 from Midtown to my house.
Jesus.
But, Christ. You know, it's not my money.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I'm standing outside waiting for my Uber that cost $104, this woman walks by and says, "Are you hungry?"
Yo.
And I said, "What?
What, bitch?"
And she held out a black bag, which looked like her leftovers or whatever. And I was like, she said, "Are you hungry?" I said, "No." "Do I look homeless?"
Did she answer it?
No, she just walked away. But yeah, okay. Yes, I admit.
She was trying to do her good deed for the week for black. He was a black, and I decided to give him a half-eaten sandwich.
Black.
No, this was an older Hispanic lady. She's probably like in her 60s. And so I am out there with all of my bags because I have my work bag and I have my luggage. I have my shoes, and I usually buy groceries when I'm out on the road. Uh-huh. So I had whatever groceries I had left over in another
bag.
You
probably looked homeless. You did look homeless.
Yeah, okay, but I'm like wearing, you know, Fail Raven cold, and I didn't look that homeless.
You look like this fashionable homeless. You were newly homeless.
But you know, I did look kind of rough. I was unshaven, and I probably looked beat down, like I did spend the night on the street.
Yeah, she felt bad for you.
Yeah,
she was giving a half burrito.
And she was an older lady who looked like she didn't have. So it was one. You know, on one hand, I'm like insulted because you think that I'm a homeless person, and then on the other hand, I'm like, okay, this woman who looked like she didn't even actually have much was willing to offer me what little she did have, and I was actually touched by that at the same time.
She was probably a migrant.
Yeah. Well, no, she was definitely a New Yorker. I guess that's what happens when you spend a week in the mountains. You look pretty beaten up, or you look like you live on the streets of New York.
You look a homeless person.
Yeah.
Homeless doesn't really have, I mean, there's a look, of course, but nowadays you can't always be sure because people are, like you said, like I said earlier, newly homeless.
Yeah.
They haven't been homeless that long. Like they new to the game, right? They haven't really get beaten up by the elements yet, but some you never know, man. Cause you go through like Penn Station sometimes, you don't know if they're passengers or they're really homeless because people all look kind of like disheveled these days, but you know, that's just my 2 cents.
You know, it was interesting. I had to go to the bank today to take care of some business for my dad. And as I'm standing at the window, wasn't really paying attention to the person standing next to me, but a whiff of bodily fluids hit my nose. And I looked to my left, and there is this homeless woman who is, I thought she was talking to the teller, but she is talking to herself. But she was taking care of her banking business.
Yeah,
I don't know how much money this lady got.
She bought $250,000 in the bank.
But she was banking. So this begging thing might pay. I don't know.
She's got a homeless account, nigga. Yeah. And a homeless account. Bank of America's new homeless account. Save pennies.
Comes with free checks.
No fucking cancellation fees. No fees at all. It's a no fees.
Bank of America would still charge you fees.
Yeah, they would.
Because they're bastards.
Mm-hmm.
They would charge you $3 a month for your statement.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago for the love of money, you had offered us a scenario in which you could either work naked at your job or work in the sewers of India. Based on what you experienced last week, does your answer remain the same?
What did I say? I said I'd work naked, right?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I would still work naked.
Covered in mud and earthworms.
Man, there's no way the smell. There's no way I could do it. I could not do it.
All right. I didn't want to interrupt too much, but.
Yeah. You know, standing waist deep in sewage and something just floats by and touches you on the thigh. I can't.
What are you doing? You're taking another break, Mr. Ricky. Get your fucking hands in that shit. There's no breaks.
Can't do it.
Merch drop.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Vin from Decoding 40 letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
So first, I want us to go ahead and bring back social distancing because people have forgotten about social boundaries. I'm online at the store, and this woman was so close to me. When I turned around, she startled me because she was literally at my shoulder. And I had my headphones in, so I didn't even hear her walk up to me. But you know how you just see something flicker in your peripheral, and you're like, I guess I was expecting it to be maybe a few feet away from me. I did not expect her to be right on my shoulder. And the fact that she was so close, so I moved up and she moves with me.
Mm-mm.
I was like, okay.
Trying to pick
so I paused and allowed the person in front of me to get some distance away. So then I would move up. This woman moved with me again. And mind you, she's with another gentleman mm-hmm. that she's talking to. But if you were to see me in this store, you would have been like, yo, L, what's good? Who's your friend?
Right.
That's how close she was to me. And I'm saying, so I'm like, I'm looking at her. She looks back at me and she doesn't see anything wrong with how close she is to me.
Mm.
So finally, I get to the end of the line where I'm next to check out. I move so far to the right. I'm like, there's no way she's going to move with me. This woman moves with me. So now I'm checking my pockets. I'm like, is she a pickpocketer? Has she gotten me?
Right.
You should have been like, you're so close. You want to pay for my fucking bill?
Right. But what really scared me was, I think the next day I was looking for my debit card and I couldn't find it.
Oh.
But I had taken it out, or I forgot what I did. It was fine. Oh, no, I had put it in a jacket pocket. And so I'm freaking out. I'm like, wait, did this woman steal my card? And I think later that night I figured out what I had done with it.
Did you have a basket?
No, I had just had one item. So I just had it in my head.
Because that's what I usually do. It's I usually will hold a basket behind me as I move up and create the space. And then they'll bump into the basket and be like, oh, maybe I'm too close.
I tried to do that. When Vin and I were coming back from Lisbon and we were going through customs.
Oh, my God.
There was someone who was doing that to me as well. So I tried to put my bag in between me and the person.
Yeah.
No dice.
He went around the bag.
Yeah. Some people don't care.
Yeah, people feel safe next to me, I guess.
They don't get the fucking memo.
After three times, I'm going to be like, I'm going to move forward. You're going to stay where you are, and I'm going to be over here, all right? But you're going to stay where you are.
Back.
Like, it seems like you want to be my friend, and my right. friends buy my friends pay my bills. So right. I'm going to need you to buy this.
Right, and this is the first part of our relationship.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. I mean, in New York, there's so many instances where you give up personal space.
Exactly.
On the subway. Look, yeah. It is what it is. You're going to be smashed in together and you've all agreed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is space and I move, don't move with me.
Yeah. She's like, when I move, you move. Yeah. Just like that.
My elbows get sharper as you try to move.
I think I am going to try the hey. You wait, I will move forward.
Right. You come here.
Simon didn't say.
What ethnicity was this person?
She was a Latin woman.
Mm. Oh, no excuses. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
You know,
and she was on the phone at the same time at some point while we were online. And it never occurred to her, like, she's yelling in my ear on the phone. Like, I should have taken a picture. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start taking pictures, selfies.
Yo, hold up.
That's what I'm going to do.
Smile, bitch.
I'm going to just put my phone up and just lean back.
Oh, sir, I don't want you taking pictures of me.
Well, you do if you're this close.
Not a selfie. We'll call it a closey. Right. We'll call it closeys. You're too close to me, so I'm taking a picture of you.
Would you like to take a closey? You have no choice at this point. But yeah, like I was saying, I had the opportunity to work on the Christian Dior fashion show, or not on the show, but on the logistics part of getting everybody where they needed to be. So
cool.
Models, executives, influencers from JFK to their car to the hotel that they were staying in. And then sort of the same thing. They had it at the Brooklyn Museum. And again, getting people in and out of the venue and just making sure everything ran smooth. So you talked about people watching. There is an incredible amount or an array of people at the airport, and the people watching is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, I thought about this, 98 or 99% of the people who are walking around on the planet Earth are unfit. So all the fit people who are trying to make us feel bad about our unfitness can go to hell because
fuck your calisthenic workout, nigga.
Yeah. Like, I mean, be healthy for sure.
Yeah.
But humans are some weird looking creatures.
Yeah.
They come in the oddest body shapes. And I was just like in awe of how many different shapes people come in. But on a nicer note, it is really cathartic to see people embrace each other who have, or are missing each other, or who love one another. And there's something about it. I was like, wow, that is pretty powerful, because that energy exudes off of them and into the atmosphere.
It's like sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is like sunshine. And it was just good to see so many people who were reconnecting and reuniting. So that did my heart good just to see that. But I am exhausted. That was 4 days in a row, 12-hour work shifts. And to the point, even the bag under my eye was like, nigga. This is a lot. So that thing just went boing. I had to put some ice on my eyes yesterday. But I think it went down enough. So there's that. But I say all that to say, in my people watching, I have a little story time for you guys. This is the story of Jaheim and James. Jaheim and James, from what I can tell, are coworkers who worked at the airport. Jaheim was telling James about a situation that he handled diplomatically at the job, where he didn't curse out his manager. And James was sharing with him some of the things that he's had to navigate as an employee, and that he's doing some studying for a test in order to get, I guess, a different job or some kind of level up. The problem is, while Jaheim is telling his part of the story, he's scratching his nuts on a public train.
like second base scratching, like a second baseman.
Like he's sitting in his easy chair at home watching the game, scratching.
Hand inside of pants or
hand inside?
No way.
Because at first I was like,
he's playing Guitar Hero with his balls.
There's no way. Yeah.
He's got crabs.
When I realized that, I'm like, wow. And then he takes his hand out. And you know, I don't do this, but I'm just saying, when you are maybe waking up and you rub your face and you rub your head or your hair and you're just like trying to wake up, like, you know, this type of thing. He proceeds to take the hand that was just on his nuts and wipe his face and his hair.
What the fuck?
And
he was trying to he was trying to catch a sniff without being obvious.
No, he wasn't trying. He did the sniff test as well.
Well, he should have went straight to the sniff. Now you're touching your face before like you
licking his fingers.
Right. Exactly.
Before you now, your balls.
In my mind, this hand is now toxic. This hand is the beginning of
it's throbbing red.
Right.
It's full of heat.
And he's very demonstrative with his hand. So the hand now is getting very close to James. And I'm sitting in a horror film at this point, because I'm like, please don't touch James, because that James doesn't deserve this. He seems like a really nice guy, and he just doesn't deserve this. But the hand is just going back and forth and around and very close to James. So I said, you know what? As long
as James aware, like, did he see the ball scratch?
I don't know if James has a blind spot in his eye, because the way that they were sitting, he might not have seen what was happening on the right side of his eye. So they get to their stop. I'm like, cool. Just Jaheim, just get off the train. Don't touch James. Just get off the train.
Did he go in for the handshake?
Jaheim gives him the super Negroidian pound with the lock, with the interlock, with the rolled hand into the hand.
Nigga, you have AIDS hands. You have AIDS.
He's a psychopath.
He is a psychopath. And I'm just thinking to myself, James,
arrest that man.
I hope that James did not eat or touch any food item with that hand until he thoroughly scrubbed it with bleach.
I hope James didn't touch anything with that hand except
fire.
The disinfectant.
he needed fire to disinfect that hand.
Just cut the hand off, James.
Just cut your hand off, James.
Whatever you're studying for, you can probably do it with one hand at this point. But yo, I was so disgusted.
Here's the thing I didn't really understand. I assumed that they were standing.
No, they were sitting down. So he had full access. He was
under the balls.
Yes. He was in. He was in there. Like
these balls won't stop itching.
He is absolute menace.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why everybody I come in contact with during the day while I'm at work, you get the pound, son. And I have the perfect excuse because I wear gloves. So like, I don't want to shake someone's hand with my gloves because my gloves are filthy. Like I've been touching shit all day. Mm. So I give you the pound. Two reasons. One, I don't want to be disrespectful and shake your hand with my glove hand. And two, I don't know where your hand's been. And a lot of people like to pick their nose and touch shit. So you get the pound. That means you get a fist with the glove on. So you get the Michael Jackson, nigga. You know,
I'm in favor of us going back to the elbow bump.
Yeah, I'm cool with that because there's been too many times I've watched people exit the bathroom.
Yeah.
Without not even pausing at the sink,
wet your hands.
No.
Right. You didn't wet your hands.
No.
Not even a mist, a whiff of water.
Nothing. That reminds me of the episode of Seinfeld when Poppy makes the pizza and he doesn't wash his hands after he comes out the bathroom. I'm going to make you a great pizza.
No, thank you, Poppy. The other interesting interaction I saw was a deaf dude cursing out this other dude because he was in his range of sight and view of the video that he was recording at Barnes and Nobles. And it was the wildest
shit. Your way. Fuck you, motherfucker.
That was pretty much his. And it was really in sign language. And he just kept throwing up the middle finger and doing all of this.
It was angry.
Yeah. And the dude was looking like, what did I do? And I saw what was happening. And the deaf dude had another deaf friend. So it was like a deaf gang. And they just was like going back and forth, just telling deaf jokes and roasting him in sign language. Like,
yeah, when they get angry, they be, all you hear is the clapping sound. Right. You just hear that shit. Right.
Dude.
Like, bonk, 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 bonk.
I went to SVA, and right next door to one of the buildings is a high school for the deaf.
Mm.
And yeah, you can hear them cursing. They're not saying anything, but the way that they slap their hands together,
right. They're saying something.
Yeah, they're definitely saying something. Oh,
so I'd never seen a deaf person curse somebody out. So the hearing person, like I said, he was taken aback because, well, one of the things was, he was one of these people who did not understand boundaries and spatial respecting space. So I already, because he was kind of annoying me because he was on my back and he was trying to read the magazine rack. So I understood why he was there, but he didn't see that the deaf guy was trying to record himself doing, I don't even know what he's doing. He's doing a TikTok or some stupid shit. I think that was it. Look at me.
Are you blind? Can you hear me going?
I'm doing the fucking TikTok here, you stupid motherfucker. I'm with my other deaf friend. Both them niggas, get away, get away, walk away, fuck a motherfucker.
Dump him.
Fuck that motherfucker, stupid bitch. Stupid motherfucking bitch. Fucking bitch.
The fact that it is like so accurate is crazy.
You fucking bitch, you gave me a fucking, you know, my throwing stick out, motherfucker. Fuck you. Bitch. Stupid bitch. Because they can't say them. They can't. Bitch. I'm sorry.
See, you ain't normal.
I know I'm not. I'm not, sir. I listen to people. I just hear sounds in my head.
Oh my God. I think I may have one or two other things. I'll save that for another week. That's probably a great place to end. This is Leon. That was my check-in. And now I'm done speaking.
What's good, people? This is Alaric. If you like the show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, Tumblr. Did I say Tumblr? Fluor. That's new. It's brand new. Just came out. Fluke, Etsy, Pinterest, Friendster, Hamster, X-Hamster. Oh, wait. That's my private account. Don't follow that. Decoding
40. This week was a pretty eventful week in terms of people that we lost. Some from the creative space, some from the music and artistic space. I guess that was pretty redundant, but we'll go with it. And some or one who just was
notorious,
a cultural lightning rod.
Yes. To say the least.
For many decades, but definitely as a result of two murders that happened in California back in, did it actually happen in 94 or was it 93?
It was 93.
Yeah.
Because I remember the Bronco chase.
So the O.J. Simpson trial took place on November 9th, 1994, and went, I didn't even realize it was that long, but it went through until October 3rd, 1995. Mm. O.J., who was a famous Bills player, a sportscaster, ad man.
Movie star.
O.J. was the black darling of America.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was O.J.
Yeah, he was fucking O.J. Simpson. And I heard someone said that he was like, he was the black Captain America at that time. It was like in the sense of he was wildly popular. He could do no wrong. There was not a white person in America who didn't like O.J.
Right.
He just wasn't. He was the good one.
Right.
He was one of the good ones. And then, but you know what it is. But then when you hear like,
well, hold on, bro. Let me finish the intro.
Let me
ramp it up. You ready to go? I like it.
Chomping at the bit.
So OJ was charged with murdering his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her in quotes friend Ronald Goldman, and according to this reading there was significant forensic evidence, however, with certain issues occurring within that trial led to the acquittal on both counts of murder. The trial
fit. You must acquit.
You must acquit. The trial still is one of the most significant and salacious criminal trials, particularly involving a celebrity, that has happened in American history. With his passing, some of the issues that were revealed around that time sort of were revisited, particularly with that trial being off the heels of the Rodney King trial.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to know, now that OJ has passed, what are your thoughts about who you were or who we were as a society back then to your insights or reflections of him now no longer being physically a part of the landscape of celebrityism?
Well, I remember when the murder first happened, like, I didn't believe OJ did it at all. I thought, you know, these cops, they want to arrest him. They want to make him an example. Mark Furman. I'm thinking there's no way OJ did it. I've come around since then. And I think OJ didn't do it by himself, because I'm still of the belief you cannot kill two separate people with one knife.
And bad knees.
No. And one knows karate. I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, that's the part that's always I've struggled with, is him jumping over fences. Like, I can't jump over a fence right now and my knees are nowhere near as bad as his or was.
I just remember it being, well, if you go back to that particular time in history in the early 90s, you think about everything that was happening at that time. You had Rodney King, of course. You had the riots in L.A. You had the state of hip hop being what it was, very, you know, it was on, it was still militant. It was still kind of, you know, you still had your pee. You still, so there was a lot of, there was a lot of static in this country, especially after the riots and the subsequent trial, them getting off, all of that shit. And then there's the OJ case. I just remember the day when they said he was not guilty. I was at work. At the time I was working for AAA Road Service.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being at the job and then hearing all the gasping, because this was before, like, there weren't TVs, but people were like listening on in 1010 Winds, and there was like a TV in one of the lounge areas. And I remember all of the whites just, oh my God, I can't. Some white people was crying. This white woman in my job was crying tears. And I remember at that time being like, oh well, because it was like, it's payback for years. How many black men got charged, fucking charged, were killed for just reckless eyeballing? Let's not even go there, right? So like, just all of that, knowing all of that history, to me it was like, he got off because it's revenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's for the hundreds of years of lynching, murdering, cop brutality, all of that shit wrapped up into one, and he got off. And it's payback. I'm sorry. And white folks that was the first time white folks didn't believe in the jury, the judicial system. They thought it was bullshit.
That was the genesis origin story of January 6th.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
For me, I absolutely 100% agree with what you said, because the celebration was sort of isolated between black and white, mm-hmm. and as if black people were celebrating OJ being not found guilty. Mm-hmm. I always felt it was really in celebration of Johnny Cochran working the system that had so often been working against.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's exactly how I felt. It was, I didn't give a fuck about OJ, because at that point, OJ had already left the black community behind. He was the darling of white folks. Like, people, like, everybody knew OJ was like,
I mean,
he was like, I won't say he's Uncle Tom, but it was like nobody really gave a fuck about OJ. Everybody knew that OJ was with white folks and he was married to a white woman. Go ahead.
I didn't even think about OJ. OJ wasn't part of our generation. We didn't grow up with OJ, watching him as a sports hero. We grew up watching OJ as this
airplane
sort of celebrity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Airplane was probably the first time we. So OJ didn't mean anything to us, our generation. Yeah. But what you said exactly about how Johnny Cochran exposed that you can buy the judicial system. Yeah. You can buy your way out of any trouble that you're in. And I think that that's what we celebrate, like the exposing of that fact. But yeah, OJ didn't really mean much to me. I didn't care if OJ went to jail.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like, so I need OJ to be free. No, I didn't care about that. I knew that the judicial system was on trial.
Right. And that, I think, is the framework that the media, this country, particularly white Americans, did not want to deal with.
Right.
They wanted to deal with, this is a black man on trial and white justice, do your work.
You know what? It was, to put it in, tie it up into a nice little bow, it was, now you know how we feel. That was, to me, now you know how we feel. Like, now you know how we felt when Rodney King, the cops got off of Rodney King. Now you know how we felt when, start the list. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, well. And like,
yeah, and
like,
I think that's
OJ was like secondary. With he got off, whatever. But now you know how we feel.
Right.
That's the perfect dichotomy, because that really shook our consciousness. Like, hold on. You can beat somebody, have it captured on video,
mm-hmm.
and they still are not being held to account.
Mm-hmm. The fuck? Yeah.
Like, whoa. Because and remember, that's like before video was like where we have it now. This is that shocked the consciousness. Like, wait a minute, hold on.
You know what? I think we also have to look at how mainstream media handled that, because they created that black white, black versus white. They created that whole entire scenario, because prior to that, OJ wasn't like, he belongs to black people. Like, we're in full support of OJ.
Mm-mm.
They created that. Oh, well, he's black, she's white. You know, the whole thing they did with Time Magazine, they got him for like darkening the image of his mugshot to make him look more menacing, to make him look more black and more terrifying. Mm-hmm. And he allegedly murdered this white, blonde hair, blue eyed, all-American white woman. That is one of those examples that we can see where we're being divided and we're being pitted against each other for someone else's gain. I don't know who's gaining from that, but it obviously drew a big line in between. There were arguments at work. People stopped speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, people weren't fucking with each other because we're like, black people are like, OJ didn't do it. Or let's just wait to see what the trial brings out.
Because that's what they say all the time. Well, we don't know if the cops really beat Rodney King. Like, let's just wait to the trial.
My position was, let's look at the evidence. And white people were like, no, he did it. He did it. They said he did it. So he did it. Bloody glove. He might have done it. He probably did do it.
Yo, I will say, when he put that glove on and was like shrugging the shoulders.
Yo, that was the Academy Award winning moment for OJ. OJ should have won an award for that bullshit.
Yo, he was straight acting.
OJ put on the uncomfortable white people face when white people look at you and they do that like half grin smile. He did that shit.
Yes.
Like, can't get it on. Sorry. You know.
So I'm curious to find or hear your impressions about the coverage about his passing. A lot of the stories have been either, actually most have been sort of denigrating and showing how poorly the judicial system performed during his trial. And also there's a lot of talk about how that trial impacted how we look at domestic violence. Of this coverage that you've seen, do you think it was fair? Do you think it was over the top? Because I do know that I saw Cam and Mace, they were pretty intentional about making sure that their impression of OJ was in direct opposition to that narrative that a lot of the media was reporting and perpetuating.
I look at it like this, right? So Michael Jackson been dead how many years now, right? And they still talking about what he might have done, what he allegedly done, he allegedly did to some children. And again, they proved that that was some bullshit. And what's the name has Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def, has a line in one of his songs where he says, talks about O.J. Simpson, basically. Like, and the trial was over like five. They've been fucking with him for the last 5 years. And this was like, this song was written in the early 2000s. So it's like, it doesn't matter. He got through the trial. He got found innocent. He was supposed to be left alone. But they've been following this man ever since then. And when they finally got him on some other bullshit charges out of Vegas for basically going back to getting stuff that was stolen from him, they gave him some prison sentence. He went to jail, whatever. But the man is dead, right? Let it go. No, it just re-energized again. It restarted again. And it's something like Rick said earlier about the news itself or the 24-hour news cycle creating this narrative of black versus white. It's like, well, let's start it up again. Let's get people talking again, because even at work the last couple of days, I've been, OJ. And then it's, well, I remember where he did it. And then it's already starting again. It's like they relit the fire to see what people are thinking about now. People who weren't even alive during that time. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Because you have a whole generation that wasn't even alive at the time.
Right. I'm glad you said that, because you reminded me of what I wanted to say earlier. Rick, you had a point when we were talking about Diddy. Remember when we were talking about Diddy and that other show?
I do remember now.
Okay. I think a part of what was driving that black-white narrative is you have to have that opposition, right? So like when Diddy becomes or moves from mogul to rapper, now we have to paint you a certain way in order to create opposition to the idea that there is some sort of virgin or sanguine part of American life that this black hard R is violating. And I think the story or the paint, when you talk about the Time Magazine cover, is they had to then revert him back to, this is hard R. Remember that no matter how much shine and sheen you put on these people, they are still violent, malignant parts of our society. And I think that's what the media was trying to tap into. The whole King Kong, a white woman sort of scenario. Yeah.
I mean, I completely have been unplugged from any of this. And I've intentionally been unplugged from most news. And I'm kind of just trying to filter even the stuff that I get. If I hear that something has happened, like I'll just research it. I'm not like just turning on MSNBC or turning on the news channel and ingesting what they're giving me. So I don't really know how they're covering it, to be honest. I heard he was dead on a group chat. I Googled it. Oh, OJ's dead. And they weren't in that first article, they weren't saying anything I didn't already know about OJ. So there wasn't like the talking heads and the pundits sort of regurgitating or editorializing about who he was and what he was and what he meant to America. I didn't have to ingest any of that. There's actually nothing new you're going to tell me about OJ now. He's dead, first of all, so he hasn't done anything new. So I don't even see the point of revisiting it with you, because that's just your opinion of what happened. And like now that sort of paints my thought around it. Like, but I've been unplugged because not because of OJ. It's more of the politics that's going on right now. It's just mm-hmm. too much for me. So I don't know. I don't have an opinion on how the coverage is, whether it's fair or whether it's stoking the fires again. I really don't know.
I think personally right now, again, OJ was 30 years ago. And here we are in election cycle with two, they're not really opposites, but they're being pitted as opposites. And when you have a character in Donald Trump and his whole agenda and his whole stoking the flames, OJ's just another log. It's another shrimp on the Barbie. I mean, you throw that in the mix, it's like, oh, you know, I think it actually, it helps Donald Trump, because now the narrative that he's like, he's either saying outright or subliminally saying in his speeches, white folks hear OJ again and go, remember that time? Oh, yeah. They, you know, and I know Donald Trump's going to protect us from niggas like OJ. Like, it's that type of energy that is kind of he's like I said, he's just another log to put on the flame that is this country right now.
You know, what's interesting is that Trump came out and said nice things about OJ and said that he was accused of some horrible things, which he was innocent of. So I agree that this is the fine line between whiteness and America, where you can have a white person co-sign you, but at the same time, those other Negroes, you got to be careful of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they grow fentanyl in their backyard and smoke crack all the time.
Yeah, this shit is all fucking tricky. And traveling around to the places where I've been in the last couple of years, in these small towns, I've met people. I don't really talk politics, and that's intentional, because I don't want to like you and then dislike you. Mm-hmm. So I don't talk politics, but there's a common theme in what we're experiencing and what they're experiencing. But who the boogeyman is the big difference. Mm-hmm. But the real boogeyman is the one we're not talking about, right? Because if you think about where you grew up on the block, and there was block politics, right? This one wanted to, you know, be in control of the ball. And if he didn't like the game, he took the ball and he went home. Now, expand that to global power, where you are not just talking about moving yourself, but you're talking about moving millions of people. We're not even thinking on that level, and how they're using all of these ways of dividing us so that we can't play together. Although we're all suffering. We're all suffering.
Big time.
But we can't get together.
I want to ask a question, and we probably don't have a time to get into it, but this is something that I want the audience to actually think about as well, and maybe send us a text or comment on it. Who do you think has done more damage to the black community, Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Actual damage?
Actual damage. Donald Trump, and I'm not a Trump fan, or Joe Biden.
I'm going to say Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Because he's a policymaker.
Yes. And the fact that this narrative of painting Donald Trump, and all he's really done, he's a fucking blowhard. He hasn't done anything, you know, as long as Joe Biden's been writing policy since the 80s, right? He's the one who came up with, like, when you sent that video to me, I had already known that Joe Biden was a part of the crime, but I didn't know to what extent, like mm-hmm. how he really helped shape this. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you think about that, and again, I think both of them probably shouldn't be running, but it's like this narrative that, you know, yeah, Trump is talking shit, but what policies has he really put into play that have affected the black community? He's affected the poor people across the board with these tax breaks and all this other shit. But Joe Biden put a lot of black people in jail.
He did.
So it's like the lesser of two evils. I don't know.
There is no lesser. The thing that makes Trump most dangerous is that it's emboldened people to come up with these policies that are fucking us.
That will fuck us.
That is fucking us now.
Are and will. Yeah. Because when you're talking about voting rights and things of that nature, and all those other things, yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Those draconian type of laws, yes. The returning mm-hmm. back to the 50s and the 40s and that bullshit. Yeah, I get it.
He paved the way for all of those things, for all of those things to happen. So while there might have been, it's like we came out of the drug war era, right? And now we're entering the voter rights war. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. women's rights war, or the DEI war, like all of those things. Like, and they've got the Supreme Court sewn up. So there's no stopgap, right? There's no fairness anymore. And that's the door that he's opened up.
They're both in the
sun. One's not better than the other, to be honest.
Yeah, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. So we'll move on to the next segment. But before we do, I wanted to give respect to Faith Ringgold, who died at 93 last week. Mr. C, who died at 57 last week. Enrico Wade, who I believe was 52, maybe a little bit older.
That, yeah, if that, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so may they all rest in peace.
Peace.
Welcome back to another segment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
So this was this. I was thinking about it. This was the scenario. It might be a little bit mixed of For the Love of Money. Actually, it is. So here it is. One of your exes who you were deeply in love with, you all had an amazing connection, but things just fell apart at some point in time and you just decided to move on and find other people. So one day you get a call from their power of attorney letting you know that the ex has died. That ex has also left you $2 billion in their will. But your wife knows the relationship that you two had and is uncomfortable with you taking that money. What would you do?
Take the money. Yes. I'm taking the money. It's $2 billion.
I would spend $100 million in making her comfortable.
Yes.
On vacations.
So if she's uncomfortable with it, she doesn't want you to do it, you're taking it anyway.
Yes.
Maybe she's dead.
And it's $2 billion.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to get over.
Has given you something that she could never give you.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the $2 billion and the level of comfort that we will have from that, she'd be fine with it. She'll get over it.
I can
buy you a diamond suit. You can have a fucking diamond finger. I can buy you a diamond hand. I'll just have you a carved diamond hand that you can wear around your neck. Are you kidding me? $2 billion?
Here's how I would sell it. Uh-huh. This is going to carry generations beyond us. Don't think about now. Don't be selfish like that.
Mm.
It's generations. You know, we're going to make contributions to your old college. We're going to have a building named after our family. And it will be generations that are coming after about it. Don't think about her. She's dead.
All right. So
we're going on vacation.
Now we have to reduce the amount.
We got
to
spice it up now.
This is when the evil kicks in.
This is rude.
$1 billion.
Yes.
And I'm in.
$750 million.
Yes.
Yeah.
$500 million.
Yes.
Yes.
$250 million.
Yes. Yes.
$75 million.
Yes.
Yes.
$25 million.
Yeah. As long as you keep saying million, I'm going to say yes.
Okay. $750,000.
Yes.
Yes. Am I paying taxes on this?
No.
Okay, pretty good. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
$275,000.
Yes.
$100,000.
Yes.
Yes. We're still got nice vacations. Still nice vacations in there.
$50,000.
Yep.
Yes.
Pause. Okay.
It's going to be a harder sell at 50 grand. $50K is going to be a harder sell, but yes.
$25,000.
$25,000. Yeah, that can...
Okay.
Yeah, why not? It's going to pay off a bill. Like that's a year's worth of mortgage almost.
I think my wife would be okay with it.
He's stuttering. Look at him over there like Elmer Foot. I think
$5,000 in a bag of potato chips. $2,500 and 240 ounces.
$10,000. Your wife does not want you to take this money.
Well, I'm not going to jeopardize my relationship for 10 grand.
Yeah,
I wouldn't jeopardize my relationship for any amount of money, but I could sell it harder the higher the price goes. I can sell it. 10 grand? I don't know if I can sell that. Because it's not like our lives are $2 billion. Our lives are changing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. 10 grand is not going to change our lives.
$10,000 to help you pay off the car or something.
It'll help pay off some bills, but
it's not worth the argument.
Nah.
Okay. Nah. I'm glad you said car. Let's move away from cash.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She purchased a brand new car of your dreams. You pick whatever it is. She just happened to buy it right before she died.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 100 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
She wills it to you. Do you take the car?
I'm taking the car and I'm selling it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm not going to take it to drive it.
See, yeah, you Negroes think you slick. I'm adding some fine print.
You can't sell it.
You cannot sell the car.
Nah, I don't want it.
Damn, what kind of car is it though, man?
What's your favorite car?
I can't even think. I don't really, I mean, I've never been a car person like that. But if it's like a Bentley truck or something like that, I'm like,
yes, it's a Bentley truck.
Shit starts with your phone and shit. That shit is nice. 100 miles on it. But you got to throw in like free maintenance for the life of the car.
Yeah. That's fine. You got it.
Yeah, I'm driving it.
He mumbled it. I'm Rick, driving. She left you a Urus.
And my wife does not like it.
Your wife hates it.
And I can't sell it.
You cannot sell it.
Rick's keeping it at his mama's house. Ricky, why I had this car in my driveway? Mom, don't say nothing. I'm keeping it here. Stop it. You're asking too many questions. I'll keep it in Queens.
Yeah. I mean, the material thing, because it's not, again, I can't sell it. No, I wouldn't take it. Fuck it. Not worth the headache. Not worth the headache.
I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot,
mm-hmm.
and it was my wife, I would say, mm-hmm. yeah, take it, because it's not like the person, when you take it, the person's spirit's going to be in the car, and it's just these are things that are after death.
Well, actually, the person's spirit will be on the car, because they'll think about that person every time they're in the car.
Yeah,
and they'll think about what if.
But it has nothing to do with our logic and process of thinking about it. It has to do with what's going to happen after you take this thing and you have to now live with a woman that does not want you to take this thing.
Right.
I'm going to go, if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd say take the car.
Yeah. But that's, I don't want to get myself in trouble. But.
Ooh, I was like, yeah, let's go.
what's that?
I've been drinking.
That's where we differ. I get it. I get it. There's a difference there.
Imagine if there was somebody that you knew, you didn't like them. You know who this person is. Mm. You don't like them. And
that's
now
who this person is. Yeah.
And now he's left your spouse
a significant gift.
Yeah. And you hate that money. You hate it, but you spend it.
Yeah. I'd be hating that motherfucker all the way to the bank, nigga.
I hate this $2 billion, this motherfucker.
The $2 billion, I feel that, because you can do so much with it.
Yeah.
But this car, and you see your wife pulling up in the driveway. She bought some new shades to match her car. Nah. Set that on fire. Get the insurance money.
And some boots to match the interior leather.
Let's spice it up. And you can't drive the motherfucker.
Mm. I like that.
And you can't drive the motherfucker. Nah, I wouldn't take it if she wouldn't be able to drive it. That's like going too far. And the same thing. Okay. I'd be like, let's spice it up again.
Let's go back to the two bill. Mm-hmm. She can't enjoy any of the money.
No.
How is that?
That's not possible.
It is possible. You can't spend it on anything household related. You can spend it on your own vacations. You can spend it on your own clothing if you go out to eat, but you can't buy any.
So I can't buy her dinner. She can't come on vacation with. No, I can't take it. I can't take it.
What about?
I cannot take it.
What about what?
If I take it, I have to. My marriage is over. That's what that means.
Listen, the kids will be straight.
Wow.
He just said the kids will be straight. You're not gonna take $2 billion that can go to your children? Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you take care of your children?
If I have $2 billion,
mm-hmm.
I'm going everywhere, and you can't come.
Right, the kids can go.
Your marriage is done.
Sure, you can. You just have to spend your own money now. You have your two.
I'm getting this PJ. You book your coach flight on Delta, and I'll meet you there.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, bro, your marriage is over.
I'm not doing that. I'm just going to take whatever little savings I got, which is nothing. Like, man, this first class ticket, ooh, it's going to be expensive, but fuck it. Like, I got to get the first class ticket.
No.
Oh, there's... man. That's horrible. That's now that's some fucking bullshit right there. I opened up a can of worms when I said that shit. No. Hell no.
I mean, it's not worth it. Well, you know what? If I took the $2 billion with the understanding that I was still going to live how I live, which would be horrible, and let my children have mm-hmm. the proceeds, okay.
Yeah, if my kids can take it, I would do it.
I can't imagine looking at $2 billion somewhere.
And your kids is buying fucking Snapples and Arizona iced teas with that money and shit. You sitting there mad as fuck.
All right, kids. I hope you enjoy it. All right. I appreciate you guys. That was the latest installment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? Yo.
All right, guys. We are at the golden moment of the hour. What did you learn today?
I learned that if I took that $2 billion and I couldn't spend it any on my wife, she would probably kill me, and then it would somehow go to her.
Yeah, she'd inherit it. She took out a $2 billion life insurance policy.
Yeah. I would just wake up with multiple headaches because the frying pan would be smacking me in the head. And
I keep waking up with these headaches and these lumps. The hell?
One lump? Motherfucking Bugs Bunny lumps. Oh, shit. I have to go to sleep with a helmet on.
What did I learn this week? I learned that a week in the mountains is equivalent to 2 days on the streets of New York living as a homeless person.
Here, would you like some of my food, young man, with all your bags?
I look like the bag man.
Mm-hmm. Was your hair wolfing at the time too?
I was wearing a hat.
Okay. So, okay. Cause I would have thought you were homeless if you weren't wearing a hat and your hair was wolfing and you had like the whole scratch.
No, I was scruffy. I was scruffy. My beard was scraggly. So I've gotten in shape since then.
Oh shit.
I've learned, and I hope you all too have learned, that if you are talking to someone, please make sure that they are not scratching their pubics and their private parts during the conversation.
Their bits.
They very well may be wiping some ball or vaginal air and stuff on you and in your hand. So stay woke.
Bump elbows.
Yeah.
Bring back bumping elbows.
Yes, no doubt.
Facts. So with that, I do want to invite you to answer the question, what would you do? Would you accept $2 billion from your ex if your spouse or significant other did not want you to? And with that, we do the close-in with, if you want to reach out to us by phone or text. Speaking of which, Jeff, I don't know how you keep giving your number away to all these people who call us from insurance and auto people, but could you please stop doing it? We got enough. Like, Jeff gets so many messages and voicemails. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, please give us a call or text us at 619-940-4040. You can email us at decoding40@gmail.com. You can go to decoding40pod.com to check out the merch and the latest news of what's happening in the world of Decoding 40. Or you can just go check us out on all of our social medias at Decoding 40. All right, guys.
That is
another fun show. And until next week, we leave you with the one singular positive word that we can offer. Peace.
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 Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.